Hagman and Hagman Report coming to you live this day. Tomorrow, Jack Cashel in studio. Hopefully he can bring his good friend, hopefully he can bring his good friend in like last time. Jack Cashel, a good friend. If you haven't read TWA 800, The Crash, Cover Up the Conspiracy, The Crash, Conspiracy, The Cover Up, get that backwards, from Amazon, folks, do so. It's a great book and it's a great read. And his latest article on American Thinker about having his improbable lunch with the acting NTSB chairman, Chris Hart, actually, is an amazing read. Before I'm going to kick it to Joe, before I do that, I just want to mention, you know, imagine this. We had, of course, we had the Syrian army had Sergeant Sangari on not too long ago on this program. And they're over there fighting the war against the Christian genocide that the Americans refuse to fight. And let me just give you a kind of a slice of life over in Syria, over in Iraq, over in that area, but specifically Syria and Iraq, what they're up against. You see, here's what's taking place right now. ISIS, the Islamic State, continues its genocide against Christians, against the Yazidis and other religious minorities in Syria. Thank you, Hillary, Diane Rodham, the Act, Clinton. Thank you, Obama, you community act of worthless piece of you-know-what, in my view. And thank you, the State Department, you bunch of morons. All right? Because what you've managed to do, and this goes, and thank you, George W. Bush, for being the intellectual giant that you are, to go into Iraq and then to leave it in the hands of Barry Satoro to clean up the mess that you created. Kudos all around, right? There's enough to go all around, and Pelosi and Ryan and McCain and all of the globalists. Yeah. But see, here's what they should be made to watch. Here's what YouTube is attempting to censor from you. Here's what YouTube and Google doesn't want you to see, because it's embarrassing to the current banana republic regime that's occupying the White House, at least in my view. All of these comments are in my view. See, I've got to say that because you know, who knows? People get suit happy. So, and it takes, you know, takes money to defend against meritless suits. Doesn't matter how absurd and ridiculous the claims are, it's designed to bankrupt you, you see. But see, so that's why I have to preface everything with in my view and in my opinion and in my professional estimation and all of this. And everything is in my opinion. So that's a blanket statement. But see, here is what's going on, and here's what Google and YouTube doesn't want you to see. And here's what Obama and Clinton don't want you to see, and Pelosi don't want you to see. That's only compliments to Guccifer, only compliments to the hackers that they're trying to blame on Russia to drag Russia into this without any evidence to support their claims. But here's what they're protecting you from. It's genocide. Genocide against Christians, Yazidis, or other religious minorities in Iraq. Human rights activists and lawyer Jacqueline Isaac testified in the United Nations that useless piece of real estate, they ought to push that into the ocean, that building and everything in it, into the ocean. You see, ISIS, what they're doing, they're taking videos of their decapitations, of their savage beatings and rapes of young Christians, young Yazidis, and they're showing them to the parents of the victims and putting body parts in bags for the families. Yeah, oh, it's uncomfortable to talk about. I don't want to talk about this because it's so uncomfortable. We'll wake up, because it's reality and it's happening. And if it's happening in Syria, it's going to happen here. Oh, it can't happen here. Oh, yeah. Well, just keep bringing the jihadists into this country. Just keep bringing them in. And you'll see how many more five-year-olds get savagely raped in Idaho. See how many television anchors get shot in San Francisco by these illegals that are brought in, by these perverted Islamic doctrines, again, in my view. These godless animals that come in here. These demon-worshipping, moon-god-worshipping demons that come into this country to not to assimilate but to destroy our culture and destroy our society. But see, that's what they're doing. The fellow human being, Jacqueline Isaac, according to what she said at the UN, saying, look, She spent extensive time in Iraq. They saw their parents. She saw those that saw their parents killed before them and taken by ISIS and categorized like merchandise based on whether they thought they were beautiful or not, their age, and whether they were virgins, just like merchandise. Okay. So these animals, these despicable, demonic, Luciferian, moon god worshipping animals who are beloved, the beloved, product of Barack Hussein Obama. Notice Hussein. Any clue, folks? Hussein, Barack Hussein Obama. Shouldn't that be a clue? Anyway, being in the Oval Office and sneaking up the place, basically, and bringing in, into the State Department or into DHS, into the biggest parts of government, these Islamic sympathizers and facilitators of Islamic terrorism, of course, this is what their product is. Their product is to treat women, and where the women's rights groups are at this point, I don't know. I guess they're, where are they? You see, if I was Sally Struthers, I wouldn't be, you know, eating a Snickers bar on a stool somewhere in the regions of Africa. I'd be yelling from the rooftops about this. And they're raping young people. They're cutting off their heads. They're cutting off their limbs. They're videotaping it and then terrorizing others. And then they're after Christians and Yazidis. Joe, go ahead and take it because I'm done.
Well, here, you got to pull up. We're going to be taking calls. And I can't get the phone system to work on my computer, so you gotta.
You trust me with this, right? Okay.
I just restarted, so I can try here. But folks, we're gonna take your calls at 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944, and we're gonna be taking calls for the rest of the show. Try to keep it short. If you have a question, comment, or concern, we can definitely get into that.
Deference to new callers, please. Preference, deference, reference, and all synonyms to new callers. But yeah, as Joe said, please, what we want to do is try to make it a little bit short and for each caller so we can get as many callers in as possible. Karen and Rome, thanks for checking in with us. God bless you.
Were you able to get that working?
Well, I'm trying right now. So you go ahead and talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I just restarted my computer. There's an interesting article on the New American just printed out here during the break, and it has a quote from George Orwell. If liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear. Then the title of the article, Trigger Warning, Happy to Some. White men and the Constitution can be traumatic. It goes on to start about how on today's college campuses, there are trigger warning. Many college campuses are trigger warning happy. They say, no, this does not generally have anything to do with guns, but it just as likely may concern racism, sexism, classism, able-bodiedism, heterosexualism, constitutionalism, Pokemon Go, white men, or just about anything else. Well, how does that make sense? Well, what this author is going on to say, he explains what trigger warnings are. Jonah Goldberg explained in 2014 in a humorous piece about a left-wing feminist website, like a spoiler alert in a movie review, or a more specific version of the movie rating system. Trigger warnings are intended to alert very sensitive people that some content might set off or trigger their post-traumatic stress disorder, or their deeply offended, or might deeply offend some people. Basically, an emotional triggering is what they're talking about here. And we've heard of these before, you know, with the Trump 2016 chalkings, where they set up safe spaces and, you know, where people can't say anything offensive without having, you know, hate response teams coming in. But they go on to talk about how this is so dangerous to accommodate people's emotions and how this is so far off base. And they talk about an example they give here is one college. It's a women's college in New York. They call it Snowflake Central, Bernard College. It's a women's college, and it has trigger warnings all over to prove how it is Snowflake Central. One example is Pokemon Go, which could traumatize students because it's supposedly a racist and classist game. In fact, it's ableist, too, requiring movement and discriminating, let's say, against Jabba the Hutt. And the author says, oh, I thought the game was just dumb. Going from dumb to dangerous, there's our traumatic constitution. While studying the document was once considered a civic obligation, it now needs a trigger warning, the writer says, because it could prompt those thoughts of oppression, persecution, genocide, and other social ills, especially in minorities. Of course, it should prompt thoughts of freedom, civil rights, and is only associated with negatives when people are wrongly conditioned. Notice that? When people are wrongly conditioned? There was a time when such irrational fears were labeled as a phobia or as a mental disease. And that's my words, the mental disease. But then where's the fright? The author goes into talking about contemporary feminism deems men as oppressive and threatening. And there's a hierarchy of oppressors. White men sit atop the food chain. Not only do I come across trigger warnings on posts about men, what they've said or done, but I also saw this one. White men, used on an article on fraternity brothers behaving badly. Question: would the Bernard Snowflakes introduce a story about the knockout game or flash mob that includes black men? The police are traumatizing students, too. An example, a trigger warning. Just seen on Broadway Avenue and 116th Street, NYPD vans say, stay inside. Yes, those hell-raising Bernard girls must ensure the cops aren't around before, going outside. Conservatives also scare the Bernard bunch, as anyone to the political right is considered not just bad, but dangerous, the author writes. Thus, does she caution such trigger warnings? Trump racism, then there's traditional male-female binary, but they go on to talk about, different stereotypes, but they boil it down to what this is. An age of victimization and triggering emotions. And when you see this happening at college students as places of higher education, there's no truth or there's no debate. Trigger warnings allow safe spaces, places where students are protected from contrary views, no longer understanding that the truth hurts, at least sometimes. Youths are instilled with the notion that there's some right to be not offended. Now they behave as it is some kind of status as offensive to them. That's offensive, generally meaning, I don't like what you are saying, is enough reason to ban it, and free speech cannot long survive this mentality's rise, the author finishes off.
Yeah. Just like Rutgers, hey, speak when only necessary. In Rutgers University, residence hall, the students are being told, look, use only language that's helpful and necessary because you don't want to commit microaggressions. You see, it's part of the school's language matters. Maybe that's racist. But the Language Matters campaign. Oh, Black Lives Matter. Now language matters. So we got to be very careful. Don't you dare ask a Latino or an Asian where they're from. Because that's microaggression and it could trigger some sort of trauma. And it's certainly not correct. And you will be put in a timeout, okay, at Rutgers. Now you talk about a bunch of crap. That everyone's a victim. Are you kidding me? And yet the parents sending the kids paying for their education at campuses like this, I wouldn't pay a dime. In fact, I would ask for my money back plus some just because of this policy, this inane policy. We're going to go to the phones right now. I do have the controls. You got the controls. All right. Call in, folks. If you want to share what's on your mind, 844-769-2944. Did you get that? It's on HagmanandHagman.com. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com, look on the top, and you'll see it's right there. Otherwise, it's unlisted.
We're going to go to Leslie in Michigan. Leslie, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Doug.
Good evening.
Good evening. I just got attacked because of you guys, so praise the Lord.
Wait a second. Do tell. What, because of us, what did we do?
I don't know what you did. This person has never listened to you, ever.
Oh, and, I find that hard to believe.
And whenever I know you're coming on, if I the spirit leaves me, I'll say, hey, get an education, tune in, and dial this number and listen on your phone if you want. So I've been doing that with my friends on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And I get this lady who got a hold of me tonight, and she goes, you need to see this. And then it's some YouTube thing by Cheryl Kickass, blogspot.com.
Really?
I didn't even look. I mean, she's just
so
like saying how you
what's Cheryl Kickbutt at blogspot.com.idiot? What's this book? Uh-oh. We just lost our entire phone bank. And I didn't press any buttons.
It is.
And it was just getting good.
It is down. Or not down, but
something happened. I didn't touch any buttons.
We got somebody else calling in, so we'll get you back on track. 844-769-2944.
See, but you know what? What Leslie was saying is it's so true, because here's what happens. Okay, there's this outgrowth of these. Well, we don't even pay attention to the idiots out there, but there's this outgrowth of small little. So-called truth tellers, Christian truth tellers, who will say, we're going to make sure that, you know, we're going to have a website, or we're going to really diss Quayle, Hagman, Langford, the Hodges, Jones, and all the rest. And this is all we're going to do. This is our reason for existence. Meanwhile, they contribute nothing on their own, or if they do, it's with a specific agenda of tearing others down. They've got to tear others down so they can stand upon the corpses or the wounded to elevate themselves. That's what we're seeing here. So you go ahead and take care. Go ahead.
All right, we're going to go to LD in Virginia. Initials LD,
hey.
You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
Okay, so I'm on vacation. I'm in Virginia in Norfolk. Okay, my son is in the Navy. He's a chief on a submarine, a fast attack nuclear submarine. And so he goes to work every day in these very attractive, you know, blue camo type military uniform. That's what they wear for their work. So he comes home last night and he tells me, and I'm talking lowly because if they thought I was talking about this, they wouldn't like it. He said they're going to start making all of the branches of the military their uniforms alike. And are you listening?
Yeah.
You mean across from the Navy to the Marines to Army to
all of them,
Air Force?
All of them, Army, so that they can't distinguish which branch they're in. And right away I started thinking, oh my goodness, that sounds like a globalization of the military, because when the UN comes over here, or the, whatever, United Nations, whatever, you know, Chinese, they're all in the same uniform. We're not going to be able to tell them apart. And I just thought that, of course, when I say that to him, I start to talk loud. I shouldn't do that. He would freak. When I start saying stuff like that to him, he likens me to Woody Harrelson in 2012. Are you serious? Come on. I'm not like that. I'm rational. And when I hear little things like this that he's telling me, that just, I mean, I don't know, what do you think? I mean, you know, these kids,
well, I'm just glad. Ma'am, I'm just glad they don't have the zippers in the back for the guys at this point, you know?
That's antiquated,
you know, you have to be over 50 to understand that.
They're so brainwashed. And, I mean, I hear all these people talking about how, the military is, going to, you know, uprise with this big coup. I don't know, you know, that Drake guy. I mean, I just started hearing about him again. Drake. Do you know what I mean by that guy, Drake?
No. No, the only Drake I know is on an episode of Seinfeld, but.
No. Try to find him with that David Wilcock talking about.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about. That guy is out there.
Is he a nutcase or what? That ain't
happening. Talking about an intergalactic planetary alien foundation or something like that, and higher ascension, you know, taking Buddhism and different religions.
Drake is talking about some kind of a military coup that's taking place right now as we speak, that arrests are taking place all over, actually, the world. And,
they've been saying that for about 5 years now, at least since we've been on air.
2011, I've been hearing this same stuff over and over again. And from what I can, from what I hear from just the people that I know, I mean, not that I know anyone high up, but I don't think that's happening. But I do think that there is an effort to globalize the military worldwide. I mean, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. And it's all about consolidation. And it's all about serving under one umbrella to control the choke points and control points. LD, thank you so much. We're going to move on. And God bless you for sneaking out and calling. I appreciate that. We appreciate that. Bless you mightily. But folks, it's all about that. It's all about because if you can, rather than have, we'll say, 10 organizations under, acting independently, if you can put them all under one umbrella like they did under the Department of National Intelligence, all of the various intelligence agencies, 17 under one man, then you can control that one man and control the entirety of the intelligence operation. Same with the military. That's the tactic being employed here. Let's go back to the phones.
We have the caller who dropped, Leslie.
Leslie.
We're going to bring her back. Sorry about that, Leslie.
Hey.
Ha! That was funny. I thought, you guys didn't like what I had to say. No.
We tell you if we didn't, but yeah, the entire phone bank dropped, so sorry about that.
That's okay. She explained it. This woman I know from Facebook, and she's actually a customer of mine because I'm a wood carver, so I'm doing some stuff at her house. But like every night, I kind of try to let people know you're out there and to call in and listen. Well, she accused me of thinking you guys are my messiah and da-da-da-da. And I said, have you ever listened to them? No, but I get the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense. You've never listened to what they have had to say, and you're telling me you get the heebie-jeebies just because I don't know what this thing was. This Jesus saved Cheryl Merrill from hell, and the Hagman Report spiritually dangerous prophet people, or whatever. I don't know what the headline is. And I'm just like, okay, I got to let you guys know.
You got the
devil running, and praise the Lord, so do I, because I got people are just freaking out about it, and it's like, will you just open your mind and listen? If you don't like, after a program or two, what they have to say, then call me out on it and tell me I'm delusional.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Thank you for standing up and spreading the word about our show, and really appreciate doing that. But you're always going to have these people, oh, I never listen. It's kind of like saying, hey, what do you think about,
olives?
What do you think about olives? I don't like them.
That's what I said like too.
Well, Jim,
have you ever
no.
I've had a black olive, not a green olive, and she was asking me about them, and I said, no, I don't like them.
No, you know, you can't.
But
I
haven't tried one. So
you
can't.
The amount, the lack of critical thinking out there in the internet, on the internet, especially within the social media, is just
it's
astounding.
So frustrating.
Leslie, you do wood carvings real quick. Do you sell them? Is that what you do? Or
I do, and I'd like to hook up with your Christian website as far as things people offer, but I haven't gone that far with it yet.
What do you carve? Like, what do you?
And
what do you
I'm
make?
A wildlife wood carver, basically. But I do all. I even did a shame on me. I don't know if this is good or bad, but I did a picture of Christ. That remember that little gal from way over in Europe somewhere who had a vision about what Christ looked like, and she painted this beautiful picture, and it was the same one that little Colton kid who died and went to heaven, and he said, that's him. That's him. Okay. Well, that inspired me so much that I just kind of took that picture and went with it. So you do
all sorts of things. Yes, send me an email at studio@hagman.com. I'd like to see your work, and I like things like that, especially handmade, and especially.
Oh, it's fun! I love it. I mean, and you never know who's going to get a hold of me. I mean, when I need the money the most, God brings them on. I'm not a real. Let's say lucrative wood carver, but I'm paying my bills. But
well,
this
Leslie,
is the last thing this woman said to me.
What's that?
I said to her, probably because you seem to she said to me, probably because you seem to worship them as the Messiah himself, and you don't seem to consider anyone else's point. I'm like questioning her, why would you say that? And
Leslie,
so I wrote,
started.
You are
Leslie,
totally
get up
wrong.
Off your knees. Get up off your knees. Quit bowing to us. And
I'm
look,
not bowing to
no,
you.
I'm kidding.
Leslie, we're up against the top. We're up against the break. We got to cut you short. Have a great night. Thanks for calling. Sorry about that, Leslie. We'll be right back.
Saddle for battle, folks. Saddle for battle. Expect the unexpected. Be prepared. Keep your wits about you. Keep spiritually in tuned. Keep mentally in tuned. Keep mentally balanced. But get prepared. Get prepared because it's going to get rocky out there. It's already rocky. It's going to get worse. You don't need it. You don't need us to tell you that. But that's where it's at. Tomorrow, don't forget, tell your friends, family, employees, employers. In fact, tie your employees up. Make them listen to the program. Jack Cashel in studio. That's right. To our super secret bunkers where we broadcast via layers of security, behind layers of security. Jack Cashel knows the location. He's the only one outside of very few people that know. So he's invited in. And, you know, folks, he's got new information he's going to share with you. Joe and I were lucky enough to have spent some quality time with Jack and others this past weekend. Not going to get into that. He can get into that if he wants to, but I'm not going to get into it to respect his privacy. I just want to say one thing. We owe just a great big hug and a debt. We are so indebted to the beautiful, wonderful young lady that does our call screening. Yeah, our call screener. She's just a wonderful lady. She works hard. I mean, she's got like 1,000 jobs to do. And she's just a tremendous lady. I'll just give her first name. Can I give her first name? I probably shouldn't, because I might get the plug pulled on me. But you know. Be nice to our call screener. Be really nice to her.
Todd want to know if he should dock her pay.
If what?
He should dock her pay.
For what?
For accidentally dropping the calls.
See, I don't think that was her fault. I do think it was a vast right-wing or vast left-wing conspiracy by the demonic realm that exists within the Clinton criminal cabal that actually caused this electronic pulse to be beamed off of the Global Star satellite into the location where they're handling the calls and fry the equipment. That puff of smoke that you saw coming out of there is indicative of malicious intent. Let's
we'll
go
fabricate
back to
the proof later.
That's right.
We're going to go to Joe in Michigan. Joe, you are live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, Joe, wake up. Yo, Joe.
All right,
going once, going twice.
We're
going
to come back to you, Joe. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to go to first-time caller Tim from Texas. Tim, you are live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Wow, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Hello?
Huh?
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hello?
Hello?
Wow.
I'm messing with you.
Okay. Oh, Lord, God bless y'all. I know Trump, he went down to Texas, you know, and they political parties, you know, demonized that. But you remember when Hillary, she went down to Texas, she brought the bird flu with her down there. They say nothing about that. Now, I got a bad feeling that, you know, that she went down there and brought this on these people. But these people from that area, they come in here in the United States, they were to be talking a lot about that. But I can't remember the year when she went down there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no doubt that she's a carrier. Okay. Just look at Bill. Enough said there. Look at Huma. Enough said there. That was mean, I suppose, right? But yeah, you know, yeah. What can I say to that, brother?
Yeah.
I mean, really, interesting.
You know, people, huh. their attention span is real short on things like that, but this did happen a while back, and I can see that, but really then I can't. You know, people remember stuff like that.
Well, you know, people have the attention. The average person in the West have got the attention span of a gnat, you know, and I'm saying the average person that's stuck on the iPads, iPhones, I this, I that, electronic media, social media, Facebook, Candy Crush, whatever the game of the flavor of the day is, they're just not with it. So, anyway, yeah.
I know. Right. I've had my TV unplugged for over a year now, and my mind is more. I'm thinking and bringing in a lot more information just through just radio itself, you know, and have more attention span on it.
You know, it's the television really, and this is something that we experienced in all seriousness. We experienced in the investigative field that if people would come to you with complex, or clients would come to you with complex issues, for example, or even corporate, you know, Fortune 100 companies, representatives of those companies would come to you with fraud issues. And because everything is condensed to an hour drama on television or a 2.5 hour movie or whatever, they expect these results right away. And of course, they live in a fantasy where that never happens, doesn't happen. So by getting out of that television mentality where you're actually being reprogrammed, your brain is being your alpha waves are being reprogrammed. So yeah, we need to do that. We need to get away from this. The television stuff, and you're right to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Well, God bless you. I'll let some other callers get in. Get some better ideas going to mine.
Oh, no, yours is fine, brother. Thank you so much. God bless you. Be safe out there.
Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to go to Don in North Carolina next. Don, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Well, hey, folks, how you doing?
Let me check. We're doing okay.
Okay. Yeah, Doug, I noticed in the beginning of the show, you seemed a little flustered and a little down and out about what's going on, and I get that way too myself. And usually when I get that way, my wife seems to walk away from the dinner table.
You know, and I understand that. And even Joe is like yanking his earpiece out. But you know, I'm not. Those adjectives I don't think are descriptive or properly descriptive. I'm righteously angry. I believe that I have righteous anger inside of me because we have allowed this lawlessness to take place.
I'm just angry. Absolutely, you have every right to be angry. But you know, there's so many passages in the Bible that say, you know, basically have a hearty heart, and I could go on and on and on and on with all the passages through tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some good news here. There's some really good news. I mean, come on, folks. 10 years ago, how many people were awake? Not many. Now, you know, look how many people
point.
Are awake.
Good point.
Yeah.
Do you think, yeah. Now, have we reached some sort of glass ceiling, not glass ceiling, have we reached some sort of saturation point here? Do you think that, I don't believe so, otherwise we'd stop doing what we're doing. So I think that there's more people that we can wake up by showing them the evidence, exposing the truth, laying out the documentation, the evidence of what's taking place. So I think it's worthy to do, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with myself.
The more people are waking up every day. The more people that wake up, the more people that wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
The more people that are awake, the more people they awaken. So,
right.
These folks are scared. They are really scared. And that's why they're trying to speed everything up. And as they try to speed everything up, it's again like the you know, the frog in the pot.
Right.
You know, everybody's waking up fast. And it's not working for them. It's working for us.
Right, right.
Okay.
I agree. Doesn't that expose us and expose really the environment that in which we live, the venue in which we live? Doesn't that expose us to a lot more danger, I suppose? And I'm not talking about personal danger. I'm talking about the potential for them to pull the plug or to do something very, what would you call it? Very sinister.
Yeah, nukes, whatever. But the thing is, no matter what they do now, even if they were to bring World War III, whatever are left to us, we're going to know who the culprit is and who did it.
But okay, are we going to be able to do anything about it? My question to you, sir, let me ask this question. You can answer this. If, let's just say, for example, the election is held, and it, for whatever reason, it is beyond obvious and proven with documentation that the election gets stolen from Trump, as an example, to in Hillary, it's given to Hillary. Now, do you think, and I'm wondering how many think this, do you think, or does anyone think, that there will be enough Americans to rise up and say, you know what? We're not, I mean, this is so patently obvious, and we've got the proof, we've got the documentation that we are going to have an armed resurrection, basically. Revolt. Is that possible?
Absolutely. Absolutely we will rise up. Enough is enough. People have had enough. Look, I spend a lot of time trying to raise money for veterans, okay? And I spend a lot of time doing that. And I go to all kinds of shows, gun shows, antique shows, RV shows, any kind of show you could possibly imagine. And everybody says the same thing. Everybody's awake. Everybody knows the truth now. The only people who don't know the truth are morons. Absolute morons that sit back and watch television. And there aren't too many of those folks anymore. Okay? I mean, I'm telling you, the majority of the folks are awake. And we will take this country back. And we have 97 million armed citizens that have guns, and they ain't taking them.
Wow. I hope you're right. I hope you're correct. I hope that there is enough men out there, and I mean men, that will stand up and say, you know what, we can't allow this. If that happens.
There are a lot of men, not metrosexuals, but real men left on this planet, I'm telling you, left on this earth. And it's not only the United States, but it's across the world. And people are waking up in numbers. You know, the Bible said all this was going to happen. Okay? And it's up to us. It's up to us to, you know, to hold the fort here.
Right.
And it's up to us to occupy. And
right.
That doesn't mean, you know, sitting on a sidewalk. That means occupying. And people are standing up. The Lord knew his people would stand up. And, you know, just look what happened in the past 10 years. 10 years ago, I would tell people what's going on. They looked at me like I was crazy. I had one guy, you know, swirl his hand around his right side of his ear and point at me like I'm nuts. I said, Doug, go home and watch television. But nowadays, you can have these conversations in grocery stores with strangers, and everybody knows what you're talking about. And we're all in line now. So, you know, it is changing. It's really changing. The people really are rising.
Good.
I think this is a good time. Look, we've been in Lucifer's ghetto for 6,000 years. Okay, we're coming out of it now. So I guess it's a good thing that we are flipping.
Wait a second, caller. I think we have to put you in the penalty box. I think ghetto is a non-PC word. I learned that today. Ghetto. You said ghetto, right?
Ooh, did I say a bad thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think that offends the sensibilities of the non-upwardly mobile. Never mind. Sorry, we'll bring you. We'll give you a pass.
Well, Lucifer's world is a ghetto. Yeah.
You're right.
He wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you down in your little place over there and rule over you.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, I see it is these. It's as horrible as it looks like the times are coming upon us. In the end, it will be a good time. In the end, they will lose.
Yeah.
Luciferians and the Illuminati and the Jesuits and all of those folks are all going to lose. And we're going to come out ahead.
That's right. And we know how, we know how the story ends. We know how we know what the Bible says. I guess that's enough to say. However, we know the ending, but that doesn't give us the...
But it gets messy.
Right. And we have to take part in that, those unpleasantries, if you will, because that's our assignment. Like it or not, we were given the assignment. As Christians, we have to hold our ground, stand up, be counted, and to fight against fight within the Luciferian ghetto. I like that. Maybe we'll keep that.
Yeah.
What do you think? All right. God bless, my friend. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. Appreciate that.
We're all here to do our part. And I'm going to bring this up again, Doug, because I love the way you said it over in Apex about we all get our emails from God and we all have our own little things to do. I say that to everybody. That's a great way of putting things. And if you bring that up to your audience again, that's a good way to put things.
Thank you for reminding me of that, and God bless you. And I have such fond memories of the people there. It was such a great time. But you're right. You know, I'll say it again, folks. You know, if you're not reading your own email, you got a job to do. Read your own emails. Don't try to read your neighbor's, someone else's emails. Read your own, or read your own faxes. Read your own memos, because you see, it doesn't work when you try to read someone else's. You might not like the task that you're assigned. You just might not like it. It's uncomfortable. Come on, do I really got to do this? But read your own emails. Follow the instructions and, you know, just show up. Play your position and show up. That's all you got to do, and be faithful. Have faith and do so in the spirit, you know, with the armor of God. So thank you. Thank you, caller, for that. God bless you, bud.
Yeah, the Lord has something for each and every one of us to do. And
right.
Those of us who are faithful, who are Christians, who are believers, will carry them out if we can. And it's going to work for us. And in the end, everything will work out. But it's going to get messy. It will get messy. So I tell everybody, prepare. Save food, ammo, water filtration, all of that. You know, all of that has to be part of our life right now. So when things do get rough, we'll be able to get through them and hopefully help other people through them at the same time that didn't figure it out. So,
right on. Thanks, Don.
Well, God bless you. God bless you, folks, and thank you for what you're doing. You have a wonderful show, and I try to turn everybody I know onto your show. God bless you.
Have a good night. Thank you. All right. We're going to go next to Michael in Montana. Michael, thanks for holding. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep. Big Sky Country. Yep. You're on.
Yeah. Okay. So I got in a little late because I get off work and I try to rush home and listen to you guys. So if I understand it, we're just kind of, you know, talking about what's on our mind tonight. Is that right?
Sure. What's on your mind?
Okay, good enough. Well, I just kind of wanted to talk about the refugees for a second.
Right.
I live here in Missoula, Montana, and they're bringing refugees here. We're one of the cities that they're bringing them to. And they kind of, it kind of got sprung on us. It wasn't necessarily like we knew a lot about it or heard a lot about it before they started coming here or before they were allowed to come here. And I don't know how much we as a community or an audience can do about it now, but I just kind of want to bring it to the forefront, and I think the more people who hear about it and learn about it can help us in a way. What they're doing with my town is they're bringing 100 refugees here a year for the next 10 years. And it's kind of, what I don't like about it is the fact that they're bringing them here, they're going to give them free housing and free food stamps and health care and schooling. And someone was saying the other day that the ones that qualify get free college. And I don't understand how that's right. I don't understand how, as a country, we have people starving and we are not worrying about our own people first. And I don't get that, and it worries me.
Yeah.
And then what I'm saying with this is how they sprung it on us is it was in the paper that the day before we actually could say something in front of our courthouse that some people were going down there, and there wound up only being, I think, like 30 or 40 people down there, and half of them weren't even from the town. And they said how, obviously, because no one showed up, we'd love the fact that they're all coming here. Well, I'm going on record right now saying that that is absolutely wrong. That is bull. But about 2 weeks later, we're a college town here in Missoula, Montana.
Right.
They got all these college students to come down and protest against us, against people who said, well, we don't want them here. And when you go online and you look at it, you'll see about 1,000 people, and funny coincidence that they're all college students. Well, that's not right. That's not wrong. They put us in a tight spot, and now the college students who get a leave as soon as they get the education don't have to deal with what they're bringing to our town. And, well, I don't know a single person here who agrees with any of it. So that's kind of my spiel right there.
Well, so your town is being held hostage, obviously, by federal money, or being your mayor, county executive, whatever, county council, or even at the state level, decided that okay, we're gonna use you as the end point for this massive for this influx, right?
I would say something. Well, yes and no. For example, I brought it to my mother, and she said, well, maybe what it is we're getting some sort of grants or special this or that. Well, as I understand it, and I could be wrong, but as I understand it, Montana is one of the only states left that have an overflowing surplus of money for disasters and things like that. So do we need a bunch of assistance? Do we need a bunch of money? No, not necessarily. But I honestly feel in my heart that it's more that in Montana, especially in our town, I honestly think they're scared of us. I honestly think that if all of it goes the way that a lot of us feel, that a lot of people here will retaliate. And I feel that if they dilute us enough with refugees, because we have a lot of Russians here too, and I just feel that if they dilute us enough, well, it'll be a lot easier to control and things like that. So,
well, you know, Michael Savage talks about borders, language, and culture. This is an assault on really all three. All right. So, I mean, it's breaking the borders. It's an assault on our language because they're not going to have any desire to learn our language. And, of course, this affects our culture. Dilution, balkanize the American states, and, of course, Missoula, Montana is ground zero. In this case, you're absolutely right, my brother. And, you know, what can we do about this? Well, you know, we've got to do something. And you pointed out where the blowback was minimal. Is that what I'm hearing? I mean, the blowback to this has been minimal. 30 people.
Yes and no. Well, what happened was they sprung on us so fast that we had a chance to go down to the courthouse and protest, if you will. And they literally told everybody 24 hours in advance that this is what was happening. Well, a lot of people came from out of town to come in to try to help, And okay, a lot of people locally.
Was there a vote on the, at the county level about this? Or in other words, were you protesting in vain, or were you protesting ahead of a vote that, that allowed this to take place?
Well, I guess it would, like you said, it would probably be more in vain, because I think that it was already pre-decided that it was going to happen, and then when everybody found out about it, they're like, hey, we're going down here to do something, and then in turn, well, yeah, that's what happened.
Well, I would say this. I would hold the very people who inked the deal, whether it's at the county level or whatever level, I would identify those people who are for this or inked the deal part of it, and I would let them know in no uncertain terms that they're going to be working on, you know, in the picking up trash on the edge of the highway, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm not going to put up with this.
And the way that I like to explain to people is, you know what? If they're all out here telling us, hey, we're going to take these refugees and, hey, bring them here and let's give them everything, you know what? Well, then you give me your name and your address and your phone number, and when they get here, we'll put them in your backyard and we'll start there. How about that? Let's do that. You know, if you want them here so bad and you want to give them everything, let's give them to you first, and we'll see how long they last there before, you know, you send them out.
Let's give me your virgin daughters. I mean, seriously, you know, that might be a little harsh, but
well, but
that's essentially what's taking place.
Yes, and sir, I the way that I look at it is this: is, you know what? I have a 6-month-old baby girl, and they're pulling this crap here in town. They didn't even tell us what school they're going to yet. And what they did was, and if you look this up, what they did was every single school in our county had an entire revamp of their system, and each and every school here now has to have, I don't know if it's the right word is bilingual, but they have to be able to speak with these children without them having to learn our language right off the bat. And in turn, now our children here have to learn about the Quran and the Muslim and Islam and all this stuff, and that's not right. You know, that's not right at all to push that on us and our children. You know, we're not okay with it. I'm sorry, but it's not right and it's not okay.
No, so, it's not okay.
It's not right, Michael.
Last thing real quick, I gotta say one thing. When Ted was coming through and he said, and I quote, you know, I couldn't believe how much the chemtrails in this area, because Victor's just down the road from us. It's like that every single day. I could send a picture to you guys with them chemtrailing this place every single day in our community. So,
you know, thank you for that. You know, I was a hard sell on the aerial spraying. I didn't believe it until I saw the documentation behind it. And of course, talked to people like Geoengineering Watch. And you know what, folks, it's real. Look into it. It's, there's enough evidence out there to support that, Joe.
Thank you, Michael. We're up against the break. We're going to have to let you go. Have a good night. We'll be right back with your phone calls at 844-769-2944.
Let's have a round of applause
for Dawn,
who's the call screener. God bless her.